So just on Wednesday night in Israel, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people gathered for what I like to call the Haredi Burning Man, the ultra-Orthodox Burning Man in Israel at Mount Meron. Mm. And while they were on Mount Meron, they sang this song that Cantor Bitton, it would have been lovely to have him join in with us because this is really a Sephardic melody. They sang a song in honor of Shimon Bar Yochai. And in just a moment, I'm going to tell you, share with you a few stories about Bar Yochai. But there is a very ancient and beloved song sung there, which I think speaks to what he gave us, which I, again, will share in just a moment. And it is, like some Sephardic music, incantatory, right? It's got a sort of thing, so. Bar Yochai nimshachta ashrecha shem in sason mecha barecha. Bar Yochai nimshachta ashrecha shem in sason mecha barecha. And it goes on and it speaks about the gifts of Torah and about how Bar Yochai gave us the secrets of the Torah, which refers to the Zohar, the Kabbalistic or mystical traditions. But before we understand how he discovered that deeper layer of Torah, we need to understand that he was one of Rabbi Akiva's students. And we have been observing during this period of the Omer the deaths of countless thousands of Rabbi Akiva's students as the Romans were still in the land prohibiting Jewish learning and study. And one of Rabbi Akiva's students was this Yochai, who wasn't quite going along with the Roman program. And as a result of it, he had to leave and hide with his son in a cave. And so it's told that they went to this cave, and to save their clothing, they dug themselves a pit in the sand, and they lived in that pit for 13 years, eating from the carob tree that grew above them and drinking from the spring that flowed in front of it. And after 13 years, a bat kol, a divine voice, came out and said that the Roman emperor has died. It's safe for you to come out. Well, imagine, though, during those 13 years, all day long, Shimon Bar Yochai and his son did nothing but study Torah. And as they studied Torah and moved past the basic meanings, they began to uncover the deeper mystical elements of our tradition, which would be written down in the 13th century in the form of the Zohar. So they come out of this cave, as we are in Parshat Emor, in this phase of deep kedusha, of holiness. They have been so removed from human society and the things that you and I are concerned with. And they come out and they see how we live. And Shimon Bar Yochai begins to condemn people because they're not living up to the level he thinks we ought to be striving for as Jews. And a bat kol comes back again from out of the sky and says, is this the Torah I taught you, that you should go and humiliate people? Go back to your cave until you know how to speak. And so he and his son go back to the cave and climb into the sandpit. And for another 13 years, they learn Torah, but they also learn Derech Eretz. They understand that each of us, like water, goes at our own level, hopefully to be raised, but still with some meaning and purpose. And when they came out, that time they were indeed able to pass on the Torah which they received. And according to tradition, that mystical body of knowledge was passed down from one teacher to a student who received it. The student kibel oto, and because it was this Kabbalah, this reception, we call Jewish mysticism the Kabbalah. And I find such a deep connection between that and this Parshat Emor, because Emor speaks all about holiness. It speaks about holiness in time and holiness in space. It speaks about the priests, holiness in people and holiness in garments. It speaks about all of these forms by which we can try to live at a different way and a different focus than we normally do. And yet we also have this remarkable cautionary tale of Shimon Bar Yochai, that religion which loses touch with where we are and how we live is Torah that's only suitable for a cave. And that when we step out into the world, no matter how inspired we are, it is our duty to mix our minds, as a rabbinic saying says, with all the creation, with all people. We live in a time where I think maybe we should strive a little bit more for holiness, and don't always, but we also have to make sure that religion remains always a positive force in the world, which sees where each of us is and meets us there and tries to raise us gently. May each of us be gifted to do that for the people we love who surround us. Shabbat Shalom.